well, it's a very good evening. Apologies about the technical difficulties there at the start of the programme. How you all doing? Welcome along to Highland Radio on this Thursday evening. It's, 6 minutes past 7 o'clock, and it's time for the Score programme tonight. So what do we have coming up on the programme for you this evening? Well, Mark English, as we know, is running in Oslo. It's another big night for the Finn Valley man, as he runs in a world-class field of the Diamond League meet in Oslo. Now, he's due on track around 7:20 this evening, and we'll be joined later by our athletics correspondent, Patsy McGonigal, to discuss his performance. So he's, about 14 minutes away from getting to the track, and he has, of course, set new Irish records in his last two outings. Also on the show, 2012 All-Ireland winner Ryan Bradley, previous Donegal's meeting with Mayo. The All-Ireland series starts for the Donegal Ladies as well. We'll be hearing from manager James Daly coming up on the programme. Before we get speaking to Anthony Gorman, I can tell you, in cricket, it was to be a big day for Brady Cricket Club today. The Matara Mason venue was hosting the first of three T20 international matches against the West Indies, a first ever T20A match for the West Indies in Ireland. But obviously the weather played a huge part today, so there was no cricket action in Brady, unfortunately, which was hugely disappointing given all the effort and the work that those involved had put in, of course, to hosting this game. But they will be back, fingers crossed, weather permitting, on Saturday and Sunday as well, with some more action with the other two games taking place there at Brady. Now, weather permitting, there is T20 Cup semi-finals to be played tomorrow night, Friday, in the Fohan Valley Cup, Dunamana take on New Buildings, Brigade play Eglinton. In the Eric Cook Cup, Fox Lodge are up against Kelly Clooney. And also as well, in the Spearns Springs Cup, it's Bonds Glen against Brady and Strabane against St Johnstone. Those games all taking place tomorrow evening. But first on the programme, the League of Ireland swings back into action after the mid-season break. In the First Division, Finn Harps are hosting Wexford, while in the Premier Division, Derry City welcome Galway United to the Brandywell as well. So we're back into the swing of things tomorrow night, Friday. And I'm delighted to say that joining us now on the programme is former Finn Harps manager and skipper, Anthony Gorman. Anthony, you're welcome back.
Hi, Oisin. Thanks for having me on.
Well, listen, Anthony, the teams have had a bit of a break. We're at the mid-season hiatus, and over the last couple of days they've been getting back into it and preparing for the resumption of the league. Of course, you were part of management teams and playing teams that when the break came around, it was very much welcomed. I suppose it gives sides who particularly weren't getting much momentum towards the end of that part of the season, it gives them time to sort of recharge the batteries, doesn't it?
It does, actually, and it's great for the players that they can actually... You know, I remember when I was involved in the League of Ireland at that stage, and when you got to the break, you're looking forward to getting your week away, because most of the players would, and most of the clubs would give the players a bit of time off. It's also an opportunity for the managers and the coaches to push the reset button and, you know, have a think. I think it's easy, you know, when you're looking back on the season. Not so difficult when you're in the middle of the season and you're preparing for games and you're analysing your previous game and you're looking forward to the next game. It's not that easy to try and look forward, and you know, because you have the pressure of preparing for games. But I think when you get a break, you have a chance to reflect on how things have gone and how things are going. And I think it's very much an opportunity for teams, especially a team like Finn Harps, who have been struggling this season. It's a chance for the manager, Kevin, and the coaching staff to hit the reset button and see where they can improve on and how them as a staff can improve the team.
Yeah. Well, listen, Harps have still got difficulties as they head on now to the next part of the season. Obviously, there's a handful of players who are on the injured list. Conor Tourish, Max Johnston, a doubt over the likes of Tony McNamee, Dara McGuinness. And then when you throw in as well all these young players who are sitting exams at this time of the year, there's not really much of a reset there for Kevin McHugh, is there?
No, there's not. But I suppose Kevin, he's experienced enough. He's been around the league a long time. He'll understand and he'll appreciate the fact that they're in the situation that they are. obviously the players that you've mentioned there, the likes of Conor Tourish and Tony McNamee, you know, two of the more experienced and obviously the most influential players in the squad. If you're missing one of them, it's going to be difficult. But when you're when you have the possibility of missing two of them, like it's a big blow to Kevin McHugh. But as like we've spoke quite a bit this season, Oisin, and we knew that it was going to be a difficult season for Finn Harps, given the fact that, you know, budget wise and the amount of players that they lost last season, and really good players that and players that were good for Finn Harps, and I think what we all hoped for that they would be as competitive. And to be fair to them, you know, while the results may not show it, certainly the games that I've watched, they have been competitive. They have been unfortunate in games, but league tables don't lie. And I'm sure, like, Finn Harps supporters and people around the club, you know, they'll be wanting the club to start picking up results, because, you know, they're in quite a difficult situation at the minute. And, you know, with the circumstances that you've just talked about, you know, regarding players injured, regarding young boys sitting exams, you know, the possibility of young boys being away playing international football as well, it just decimates the squad for Kevin McHugh. So he'll be looking forward to maybe getting to July and getting a transfer window and seeing what he can bring into the club.
Yeah, what really are his options? Because obviously he's got a limited spend there, so it sort of curtails as to who he can actually bring to Finn Park, Anthony, when it comes to that stage.
Well, I think Kevin, you know, he certainly would have known the budget and the restraints that he would have had to work with. And a manager coming into the football club working in them conditions would find it difficult. But I think Kevin's probably the best man for that job at the minute, because he's worked very closely with the underage setup at the football club. He knows the young players coming through inside out. And while it's not ideal, it's an opportunity to blood some of these young boys into the League of Ireland football, especially the ones that he would deem to be good enough to play at a senior level. But it is really difficult, and it's not a situation that I'm sure him or the club would like to, are happy to find themselves in. But it's listen, sometimes you just got to, you know, play with the cards and the hand that you've been dealt. And while it is difficult, I'm sure, listen, Kevin wouldn't have taken the job if he'd have thought, you know, that he couldn't help and improve things. And I think that's all we're looking for at the moment, is that we do see an improvement in the fortunes of Finn Harps.
Yeah, we have to bear in mind as well, in relation to the transfers, Anthony, that sort of Harps are involved in this investigation that's going on at the moment, and the registration ban that was handed down.
Yeah.
Now we understand that could be lifted by July the 1st, but that's a very unfortunate situation that the club ended tangled up in, so it is.
It is, yeah. And, you know, it is a situation that I would envisage that come the 1st of July that, you know, the embargo will have been removed. But listen, it's all part and parcel of the game. We've seen it, you know, at much higher levels than League of Ireland, where clubs have been given transfer embargoes and, you know, they've been stopped from signing players. And, you know, the bigger clubs, when they've got the money behind them and they've got the lawyers, they'll always find a loophole. But, you know, in a situation like Finn Harps, you know, the club have to work extra hard to make sure that any problems that are seen as, you know, restricting them in terms of bringing players in, you know, they've got to work hard to make sure that something like that in the future doesn't happen.
Okay, then on the game on Friday night, Wexford, obviously Harps have played them already this season. That game ended on a 2-2 draw, if I'm thinking right, Anthony. What can we expect on Friday night? Is this a game that Harps could take a 1-1 now? It's been a while since we had one. If we go back 7 games, they've only won one of their last 10. But it would be the ideal start to the next phase of the season if Harps were to get a big result on Friday night.
It would, yeah. And, like, to be fair, after a positive start by Wexford, you know, they've sort of tailed off a wee bit. Like, they themselves have only won one game in the last 6, a 2-1 victory away to Bray. But, you know, you'd expect that They're currently sitting in sixth place, a point off the playoffs. But you would expect that Wexford would go to Finn Harps in a fairly buoyant mood, you know, given the fact that their opponent has so many issues in terms of injuries and in terms of young players and a depleted squad. But you know, again, and it, without sounding like I'm repeating myself, all Harps can watch for is that they've you know, rejuvenated over the break, that they're going in fresh, that, you know, they've hit the reset button, you know, and they can go on an even playing field against a Wexford team who, again, themselves haven't been in great form, but would have ambitions of pushing into the playoffs come the end of the season. I'd expect it to be a tight game. You know, Wexford do have the top goal scorer in the league in Mikey Rowe. He's got 13 goals, which is a phenomenal bit of shooting for a team, you know, that's only scored 21. So, I mean, he's the man to watch. And, you know, if they can keep Mikey Rowe quiet, they've got a chance to at least get a point against Wexford.
Yeah. Kickoff 7:45 at Finn Park on Friday night. Jeremy Doherty will be there to watch Finn Harps against Wexford Youth. We will have live updates as from the kickoff time there, all brought to you in association with B&S Credit Union, Main Street, Bally Buffet. As for the rest of the games, the leaders Dundalk are hosting UCD, Treaty to go on Bray Wanderers, Athlone Town against Kerry FC. And then on Saturday, second place Cove Ramblers are off to Longford Town. But the big games keep coming in the League of Ireland Premier Division as the season swings back into action once again. Derry City are going to welcome Galway United, who of course have Ollie Horgan as a member of the management backroom team. But I'm sure Derry were glad to see the break, because they lost their last two games before they took the break, so they did. So that was probably welcome from a Derry point of view to hit reset there, Anthony.
Yeah, Derry have been a funny team this year. You know, after a poor start, and then you think they've turned the corner, and then they went on another poor run. And then, so the last three games, they picked up a point out of the last three games, but haven't been impressive in the previous three games, you know, where they got victories over Shells and Pats, and home to Shells and Pats and away to Cork. But it's about Derry finding that consistency, Oisin, you know. And again, we can't keep going back and saying, oh, it's a new squad and new players and new manager. You know, the time has to come where, you know, Tiernan Lynch, he sits down and he looks and he's got a settled squad. And like the boys that he's brought in, they're all experienced players. And moving clubs, you know, when you're an experienced player, it's nothing new to be moving football club every couple or three years, you know. So it's time for the excuses to stop with Derry City, and it's time for them to start, you know, delivering performances and results that the ability in the squad suggests that they should be delivering.
Yeah. No doubt the game in the Premier Division is Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers. We have the battle of the former champions and the current league leaders. And when you look at the table, Anthony, Shamrock Rovers leading the way. They've 36 points and have scored, are better off rather, in goal difference on plus 17. Are 9 points adrift in 27 and only have a goal difference of plus 2. And that sort of tells the tale, particularly how, I suppose, the second quarter of the season had panned out in those closing weeks towards the break. But listen, it's been teed up now for another clinker of a game at Tulka Park, so it is.
Yeah, and I think the rest of the Premier Division, they actually need Shelburne to, you know, to take 3 points off Shamrock Rovers, because, I mean, if Rovers go into the Shelburne game and they pick up another 3 points, you know, given the fact that Drogheda is playing away to Pats, like, they could be looking at a 9 point lead at the top of the table. And Shamrock Rovers, they're the one team in the league that you feel has the ability to put together a run of 5-6 victories in a row. And then, you know, going into Europe, I always felt that Rovers, their plan would be to, you know, go flat out in the league and, you know, put out the big guns in every game and try and pick up as many points as possible before the European campaign starts up, because Rovers would have ambitions of playing in the group stages of, whether it's the Europa League or the Conference League. So they're in for a long season, or they're planning and preparing for a long season. But take Rovers out of it, Oisin. It's very cramped at the top from second to the seventh, or second to even eighth. There's only 7 points, yeah. And it's, if you again take Rovers out of it, it's very similar to the way the league was last year. You know, Derry and Shelburne matching themselves on points, and you know, Drogheda's been outstanding this season. And Bowes, while they've been really hit and miss, they've a good game, bad game, but they're still sitting in third place with 30 points. And Bowes have yet to draw a game in the league this year, actually 10 victories, 8 defeats. You know, which says a wee bit about Bowes, you know, that their inconsistency could cost them. But certainly, from a league point of view, I think it's important that Shelburne try their best to get 3 points against Shamrock Rovers on Friday night.
Yeah, the other games, St. Pat's against Drogheda, Cork City playing Bohemians, those are the games on Friday. And then finally, Anthony, on Saturday, Sligo Rovers play host to Waterford. Two teams in the bottom three, and if Sligo was to get 3 points in this one, certainly it would be a very much welcome 3 points, and it could be a result which could lift them off the bottom of the table as well.
It could, but do you know, we look at the league table and we see Sligo at the bottom and Waterford third from bottom. But believe you me, both teams have been impressive when I've watched them. And I think, you know, Sligo, they've been so unfortunate in games. Like, they've actually scored quite a few goals. But it's at the other end, you know, when they're letting in goals, it's very difficult to keep leads and pick up points. Waterford, on the other hand, you know, they've been quite consistent throughout, and they've been impressive, especially going forward. So you would expect a good game there. And there's, again, the league tables usually don't lie. But Sligo, to be fair, as I said, their performances have been good, and they have been unfortunate in the games that they've lost. So you wouldn't rule out anything from Sligo in a home game against Waterford.
Yeah. Okay, listen, Anthony, we appreciate you taking time out to join us this evening on The Score, and enjoy the football this weekend. Talk soon.
Thanks, my Oisin. Thank you.
Just a note on some other soccer-related matters from the League of Ireland. Drogheda United have described the UEFA decision to expel them from the Conference League as harsh and unfair. It's due to the Danish side, Salzburg, also qualifying for the European competition. Both clubs are owned by the American-based Travila Group. And due to UEFA's multi-club ownership regulations, Salzburg's better league finish this term means that the Claret and Blues will not be allowed to participate in the Conference League. In a statement, the Premier Division clubs say they will now take their case to the court for arbitration of sport. And just as you know, Mark English finished seventh in that 800-metre world-class event in the Diamond League, which was taking place in Oslo in Norway. We'll be hearing all about that race coming up real soon here in The Score, which will continue after this commercial break.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking a full range of Donegal jerseys and leisure wear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to The Score programme. Patsy McGonigal will be joining us shortly to reflect on the Diamond League meet in Oslo, where Mark English was running to finish seventh in that race, a fourth place finish for Radisha Adeleke, and also team selection for a number of Northwest athletes for Ireland earlier today as well. We'll get all the details of those very, very soon. But in Gaelic Games this Saturday, the Donegal Senior Ladies will return to action for the first time since being beaten by Armagh in the Ulster final in Clonus last month. In the All-Ireland Series, Galway are the visitors to Lifford this Saturday afternoon. It starts at 2 o'clock, and we will have updates from the game with Maureen O'Donnell. The Westerners gained promotion to Division 1 earlier this year and went on to win the Connacht Senior Ladies Championship. They then defeated the other team in the group, Tipperary, in the All-Ireland Series last week by 9 points in a dominant display. Donegal boss James Daly is well aware of the difficulty of the tie that lies ahead and says his team have learned a lot from that defeat in Ulster final day. Earlier today, James was speaking with Highland's Mark Gallagher.
It's always good to have the wee bit of time to work on things that we need to work on coming into this. But yeah, look, the girls are keen to go and play a competitive game. They played a couple of challenge matches, so it's good to get to, you know, playing a proper match.
Before we get on to this Saturday's game, it has been, you know, over a month since that game against Armagh. Things didn't really go to plan that day, but I'm sure, as you say, you've learned a lot from that defeat on the big stage.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we probably got a lot out of the Ulster final, because You know, we went up against a real good team. You know, I thought we competed really well in big parts of the game. We were slack for the first two goals and kind of took the game out of our hands quite early. But look, I thought the girls battled back hard and done well. You know, come back better in the second half, got some good scores. Girls come off the bench, got good scores. So, look, we entered the video. As I said numerous times, we're a very, very young team. So the best way of showing these girls where we're going wrong is put the video up and we point out what we need to work on. And like we've been doing that, Karen and Poggy have been putting the girls to their paces now a lot over the last 4 or 5 weeks. And hopefully now, like we had a tough task on Saturday, but hopefully we're going to see the fruits of that hard work.
Galway are the opponents this weekend. They've had a great year so far. They were fairly untouchable in Division 2 and then went on to win Connacht. Is it safe to say this is one of the top teams in the country you're coming up against on Saturday, James?
Yeah, no doubt about it. They lost in the All-Ireland final last year. It wouldn't surprise me if they won it, if they won All-Ireland this year, because like they have 10, 12 really, really seasoned players who are right in the prime, and that's what you need. You need those girls they answer the call to Galway time after time. So they're a really good team, and our job is to try and do a job and then try and slow them down, frustrate them a wee bit, turn the ball back out, and then when we get a chance then try and get the other side on transition and get the ball in behind and get a few scores ourselves.
Yeah, a little bit difficult. These are the kind of games the girls will want to play in. You know, a home fixture in the All-Ireland Senior Championship, hopefully a big crowd in Lifford. This is where you want to be.
Absolutely, but the girls. This is what the girls want. This is how you judge yourself. You judge yourself on playing in the All Ireland series against Galway and then against Tipperary. They're Galway's a solid team, but the girls are really looking forward to it, to see where they've come from in the Ulster final, see what improvements we made, and again seeing where we learn from this again and we move on, because we're by far the finished article. So it's going to take a wee bit of time, but. We learn from every game, and Karen does a video out then, and it's very, very good. Like, it shows the girls what we need to do better, but you know they'll be keen to get out there Saturday afternoon and play a bit of ball.
What about playing in Lifford, James? The side seem to enjoy the venue. You were actually unbeaten in Lifford during the league campaign with a couple of good wins against Tip and Monaghan, so that'll give the girls some confidence as well.
Yeah, look at this. We pushed for Lifford because the girls have played a lot of football at underage level, schools level. And this is where they're more comfortable, and they like to play in on that maybe a tighter pitch. And at the same time, we want to do what's best for the girls. The girls want to play in Lifford every year, and that's who we want to play.
Finally, squad wise, everybody fit and ready to go, or do you have any injury worries?
Yeah, look, the only one possibly is maybe Elita Boyle has carrying a wee bit of an injury, and we will she may be available. We don't know yet for sure, but. If not for this game, she'll be available for Tipperary again.
That's Donegal Ladies Senior Manager James Daly, who spoke to Highlands' Mark Gallagher earlier today ahead of the start of the All-Ireland Series for the girls this coming Saturday, a game of course which is taking place in Lifford, and it starts at 2 o'clock. Maureen O'Donnell with updates from that game. Tyrone are also in action this weekend in the Intermediate Championship Group 2 Round 3. They are playing host to Westmeath on Sunday afternoon. Still to come, we'll be speaking to Ryan Bradley, 2012 All-Ireland winner, to look ahead to Donegal against Mayo in the All-Ireland Series this coming Sunday. But we're going to move now into the realm of athletics, and a Diamond League meet is currently being held in Oslo in Norway, and there is of course Northwest interest here in the form of Finn Valley AC's Mark English, who in his last two outings set two new national records for 800 metres. The latest one of course was on Monday night at the FBK Games, which took place in the Netherlands. A short time ago he completed his 800 metre race and finishing in 7th in a time of 1:44.33, which was about 0.4 of a second off the record of 1:43.92 that he set on Monday evening. Patsy McGonigal, our athletics correspondent, joins us now on the programme. Patsy, we've just watched that race. It was a very, very pacey race, which was won by the Olympic champion. How would you assess, I suppose, Mark's performance first of all in it?
Well, it looked very much like to me that Mark, there was 10 starters, so obviously it's going to be a crowded field. It's a tight track. He did try to get into a better position at the start. So they went out hell for leather, you know, and they had a pacemaker up front, so it was fast, and they were going word for world record pace. So, you know, he just didn't get into the position that he needed to get in. He probably had some fatigue in his legs. That's only two or three days since he was in, since we were in Hingelo. So basically, you know, he fought it down the line, and you know, it's another race. That's another race in a long, long, long series of races, and a series of races that's been very, 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 very positive. And you know, he's not going to be winning every day. He ain't going to be winning every day, and people got that to get into their head. But he's at that world class level. I mean, he was in Oslo tonight, and Oslo tonight was full house. It's an iconic venue. It's where we all associated many years ago, where Seb Coe broke the world record for 800 metres. So it's good to be there. It's good to be in the middle of it, and another learning experience for him. And you know, he did say that he was doing back-to-back races just to assimilate a world championship or a major championship. And this was his learning tonight.
Yeah, I suppose some people will look at it, and given Mark's age, and he's been around the block a while, so he has been competing in major championships for quite a few years at this stage, Patsy. But listen, to break the Irish record, 800 metre record, and the first man to go under 1:44 twice in the space of 10 days was a phenomenal achievement for him. What has been key to Mark achieving these milestones in recent weeks? Obviously, he changed his trainer, but there's been tweaks done that has him in the best shape and running the best, I suppose, times of his life.
Well, I suppose a new coach brings in a new attitude, and that's no harm. And you know, and as you just related, he's got years and years and years and years of running experience and training experience, and that's built into his body. But more recently, he spent 5 weeks at altitude at Flagstaff. That went extremely well for him, and he's got training partners as well up there that are world class as well, you know, and that's pulling them through in sessions. And there was tweaks to his training, you know, so he'll take it. He's happy with it, and you know, he'll build on it. And you know, people are trying to put this thing around him about age, you know, and very interestingly, you know, he's been, it's an unbelievable record. 18 years of age, he won his first national senior title. 18 years, he's now 32, you know, when he was 18, and that's what added up 14 years, winning national titles indoors, outward, and five European Championship medals in the meantime. And that 1:43, that'll stand to him forever and ever and ever. That's serious. That's global territory, and it's big news. It's really, really big. And the fact, you know, to be honest, to get into that Oslo, you need to be up there with the best in the world. You're not going to get into Oslo if you're not up on the best in the world. So that was good. Glad that he was there. Glad that he learned, and he'll move on.
What's next for him now, Patsy?
Well, he's got to make a decision. He won't run Stockholm. That's the next big one now on the weekend, and he has a plan, and I'll leave it to him to announce that. But he'll be in action now shortly again. But see, the other thing that everybody's got to remember, this season is about the World Championships in terms of championship, and that's September. So, you know, he's come out racing. I do suggest that he'd break, and I would imagine that he'd possibly go back to altitude at some stage, and then he'd come back down and he'd race again into the World Championship. So, you know, but that could change. But at the moment, that's where he's at this particular night in Oslo.
Yeah, and Radish Adeleke was also running in Oslo. Would she be content with her fourth place finish tonight? What sort of run was it, Patsy?
Well, no, I wouldn't say she'll be content, but she's got to find her legs, you know, and she's got to find herself. And the Norwegian girl, Jaeger, beat her. She'll not be happy about that. That again was world class. That's most of, you know, there was five athletes in that race tonight that made the Olympic final. So we're talking about the very, very, very best in the world in these races. So you know, just to be in there, just to be ranked is key. But no, she is going to Stockholm, and that'll be another race along the road in preparation for World Championships.
Yeah. There is the European team event coming up in Slovenia shortly. The Irish team was announced today, Patsy, and there's a number of athletes from the Northwest who have been included in that big panel of athletes who are heading for the event. Who are they?
Yes, they are indeed. And that's Arlene Cross, and she's back out on international duty. She's in the mixed relay and in the 400 hurdles. She'll be looking there to run faster than she's ever run before. Then there's Rushing Flanagan. She's running 5,000 metres. She's been in championship races for years and years and years, but has never been in the European Cup. So, you know, she'll do well. And young Fintan Dewhurst has first ever foray into a European Cup. He had a good run there in Lisbon over the weekend. He qualified for the European Under 23 Championships. So the young Glenties man will gain immensely from being in that company with some of the best athletes in the country on that team. And, you know, that's good. Three Donegal athletes on the team and a couple of other Donegal athletes on standby. Lauren Callaghan in the long jump and John Kelly in the shot. So, but three definitely on the team, and that's good news.
Okay. Listen, Patsy, we'll leave it there. Many thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon over the weekend.
All the best, Patsy.
Patsy McGonigal, Highland Radio's athletics correspondent there, talking Mark English and all things athletics going on at the moment. Now, back to Gaelic Games. Don't forget that you can listen back and indeed watch our dedicated GA programme and podcast, The DL Debate with Brendan Devaney. It's available now in the sports section and the playback sections of our website, highlandradio.com. Or, of course, they are looking at the All-Ireland Series. We're down to the nitty-gritty. We're going to focus in here now on Group 1. Group, of course, which has Donegal sitting top on score difference ahead of Mayo, Tyrone and Cavan in that order. The fixtures this weekend are Donegal against Mayo at Dr. Hyde Park in Roscommon, and Infermanagh and Enniskillen, Tyrone are taking on Cavan. If Donegal are to make the quarterfinals, they need to win and Cavan to beat Tyrone, or for Tyrone and Cavan to draw. If Donegal and Tyrone win, Tyrone will top the group and go to the quarters by the way of head-to-head, and Donegal will have home advantage in the prelims. Now, a Mayo win would secure a quarter-final if Tyrone win, but Cavan can go to the last eight directly with a victory as they hold the head-to-head over Mayo. Defeats for Mayo and Cavan would see Mayo exit the championship on the head-to-head with Cavan. Defeats for Tyrone and Mayo would see Tyrone exit on the head-to-head with Mayo. If Donegal lose and Cavan win, Donegal would exit the championship on the head-to-head with Tyrone. Lots to play for, but if all the games were to finish in a draw at the weekend, the table would remain as it is, and Donegal would go straight to the quarterfinals. So there is, of course, a lot to play for. A man that knows a thing or two about playing Mayo on the big championship occasion is 2012 All-Ireland winner and Buncrana clubman, Ryan Bradley, who joins us on the programme now. Ryan, how are you doing?
Doing very well, Ashton. Thanks for having me on.
Listen, Ryan, we'll start with Michael Murphy. Today, he was named as the PWC GA Gaelic Players Association Footballer of the Month for May. He put on a serious shift over the course of a number of weeks, which of course included a man of the match performance in the Ulster final last month. But what can we say about Michael Murphy? He came back out of retirement and he said he had something to contribute. And he's probably contributing at the same level, if not more, than what he did before he retired. But he's having a phenomenal year so far.
What else can we say about Michael? It's just hard to believe he came back and he's putting in them level performance that he's doing. It's mind-boggling what he's doing. He's been absolutely outstanding. Just a pure leadership on the field. He just lifts the whole team around him, lifts the whole crowd. It's just been like the way he's just playing in the middle of the park, full forward. He's just, words can't describe what he's doing at this age. It's great to see. It's just Brian been back watching him. Yeah. I do believe he's playing as good as he's ever played for Donegal. The performance in the Derry game, the Tyrone game, the Ulster final, it's great to see.
Yep. And even the last day against Cavan, he was a contender for man of the match as well. He was brilliant against Cavan, brilliant against Tyrone. But is it getting to the stage where maybe we're a bit over-reliant on Michael now, given there's so many injuries? Obviously, your own clubman, Keelan, currently carrying an injury, the likes of Jason McGee, big men that would need round the middle, but it seems to be Michael that's doing all the grafting there now, so it does.
Yeah, probably, you know, and that's just the way Michael is. He he's involved in everything good that Donegal do in the games, you know, so maybe that's where most of the players are still looking to Michael, to pull him out of a hole when things are going tough. But I agree, you know, we probably need Keelan back and Jason McGee and the rest of the boys around the middle, maybe just give them that wee extra few percentage, to help Michael out, and And if we all do that, if they all do that, I think it things look good for Donegal.
Yeah, I'm not even going to ask you, is Keelan going to be available this week? Because you don't know, because we hear very little at the moment, but we're hoping that he returns at some stage. Because Donegal, the reality of this is, if Donegal are going to continue to perform in the championship, you need all your players available, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. Keelan fills a big hole there in the number six, you know, and he's doing it very well his last couple of years. We will need the full team back, you know, and a full squad of players, fit and healthy. You see how taxing it is on the body. The games come on every week, you know, and this weekend is going to be no different. It's going to be a very tough game, especially now with how the results have gone so far in this group. Everything's up for grabs.
Jim did say after the Cavan game, before the break ahead of this Mayo match, that everybody should be available again, including Sean Patton, which would be a major boost, because given the way the game is now panning out, Ryan, with kickouts are dominating play, so they are particularly in bad weather. It would be key to have Sean back as well.
Yeah, definitely. Sean's probably the top keeper in Ireland at the minute, in my opinion. Now Gavin Mulroney didn't do bad. He's been having very good games since he came on, but Patton's kickouts just adds that extra bit, you know, the forward. He can hit the 45 with his kickout. It just adds that extra attacking option when he's on the field, you know. So hopefully Patton's back very soon. I think Donegal, to go further, they will need Sean Patton in between the sticks. Yeah.
Donegal could be playing 3 weeks in a row, and you mentioned about we need everybody available. Now, if Donegal are going to top, they need the other result to go in their favour, and that means Cavan beating Tyrone and Donegal beating Mayo. If Donegal's going to go straight through and get a break. At the minute, it may not look like that. Donegal could finish second, or indeed they could finish third in the table, but they will have an extra game. In championship, 3 games in 3 weeks to come through to a quarter-final stage. Is that a big ask for any team, Ryan, in your opinion?
Oh, it definitely is. It's definitely, especially at the speed they're playing the game at now, and the level, it's and the physicality in them games, it's non-stop. There's not a break in the games at all. But it seems to be that most teams are scheduling their training around that all year round. You know, they seem to be fit. I don't know how they do it. They seem to be a lot fitter than they are now than we played. But it's definitely taxing on the body, and I think that's where you need the big squad, and you need a full fit squad for these games. I think that's very important now for the next run-in.
What about the threat of Mayo then at the weekend? How dangerous are they coming into this game? Because they know that they need to win, or they could be going out of the championship. That's the reality for them.
I think everybody's kind of has to win. You know, you can't depend on all the results. You know, you would think Tyrone should be beating Cavan, but you can't really go. You know, Cavan went down and beat Mayo. Tyrone beat Donegal. So it's really, you have to go out, the ball's on your own court. You have to go out and win the game. But Donegal never have an easy game against Mayo. We've played Mayo, the boys have been tough games in this last 7-8 years. They've been very tight games. So it's just Mayo's a tough team, and on their day, they can beat anybody. So it's really, I do think it's going to be a really, really tough game. And I just hope that Donegal have enough to squeeze out a couple of points ahead at the end.
Who do Donegal need to be wary of come Sunday? Who's the big threats there for Mayo, do you feel?
I think they're going to have to tag Paddy Durkin. I know he's only back recently, but he's a dangerous player. If he plays well, Mayo always seem to play well. And Ryan O'Donoghue, he's very good from dead balls. But if he gets one or two over early on in the game from play, he can be hard to handle. You know, so I think they might have to tag them two players early and take them out of the game. I think that will, you know, that should help Donegal's cause.
Who'll pick up Durkin, do you feel?
You'd have to think Ryan McHugh.
Yeah.
I would have to think Ryan McHugh is very good at that job. They're very like-for-like player. And I think, you know, if the two of them cancel each other out, I think it'll favour Donegal a lot more.
Yeah. And you expect Brendan McCall to take up Donoghue. What about the venue, Dr. Hyde Park? Mm. Is it unfair on Donegal, Ryan?
I think so. I think it's very unfair, you know, to travel that far down, especially for the fans too, you know, the supporters. You know, 3.5-hour journey from Annie here to get there. And it's very close to the border, Mayo. But we can't use that as an excuse, you know. I think Donegal, just accept it where the game is and we'll just get on with it. And maybe it might be a wee thing to help boost them.
Yeah, Donegal certainly have had interesting games with Mayo in recent times. This is only the sixth championship meeting, but of course we won the big one back in 2012 in that All-Ireland decider. A lot has happened between now and then. Interesting that you see the likes of Patrick McBurdy, who is an All-Ireland winner's medal, and Michael Murphy still playing football at this stage. And I suppose experience like that could be telling come Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, Michael's always a big game player, and you know, see Patrick's coming on off the bench a bit more and he's hitting a couple of scores. I think we'll need that again from Patrick this Sunday if the going gets tough. If he's not starting, for him to come off the bench and hit them big scores. But it's all on the day, you know. It's just all on the day, who wants it more and whose game plan works out.
Just on the other game, just finally, Ryan, Tyrone, of course, are taking on Cavan. That game's at Brewster Park. How do you see that one going? Is it pointing more towards a Tyrone win, or is there another big shock in Cavan? And is there evidence there off the back of their Donegal loss?
I think it'd have to be more in Tyrone's favour after the way the second half went. The last 10 minutes of the first half and the second half against Donegal. I just think Tyrone have that bit more firepower than Cavan, and I think that'll get them over the line. I think Cavan might have had their big day against Mayo, and I think Tyrone should have enough. They are a stronger squad, so you would think they'd have enough to get over the line.
Yep. And who are you tipping, by the way, in the Donegal Mayo game? I think you're going with a home county one there, are you?
Yeah, you have to, I think, didn't you?
Yeah.
You have to believe.
Listen, Ryan, many thanks for joining us tonight in the Score programme. Hopefully the rain will clear up and we'll get to enjoy the football over the weekend. Thanks for joining us, Ryan.
Hopefully. Thanks very much, Ashley. Thank you.
And just to remind you, we will, of course, have live updates, not live updates, full live match commentary from the game this coming Sunday. You can join us from about 3:30. We'll have the build-up. Throw-on time is at 4 o'clock. And the two Brendans, Mr. Devaney and Kilcoyne, will be joining me on co-commentary once again. Now, big crowds are expected down to the Hyde for the game, and obviously Mayo and Donegal are two teams that travel in big numbers, so do expect some delays and lots of people about and lots of traffic on the road on Sunday if you are heading that way. And you need to bear in mind that part of the N61 is closed due to roadworks. So the Boyle to Tulsk and the Elphin to Tulsk roads are closed and diversions will be in place. Now, there are two options for the Donegal supporters, but the main option is from Boyle, go to French Park and back onto the N5 to Tulsk. Mail traffic will also be coming in at the French Park Junction as well. Route 2 option is go from Boyle to Elphin and then to Strokestown and then to Roscommon. But the best advice is, no matter what route you're taking, we advise you to go early and give yourself lots of time if you're heading to Roscommon this weekend. And also bear in mind that parking around the ground could be difficult as well, as the majority of the supporters will be coming into Roscommon from the same side of town. But if you're not going, you can tune Highlands Way. We will, of course, have full live match coverage from that much-anticipated Group 1 game. There is, of course, matches in the other four groups. And in Group 4, which is Northwest Interest here, it involves Derry. Armagh, as we know, are already through to the quarter-final. But if Derry are to stay in the competition, a first competitive one of the year in the championship would guarantee their progression, and it would leave the Dubs hanging on for the result from Cavan Breffni Park, where the other match is Galway against Armagh, and Derry would need Galway to fail to win in that game as well. So still lots to play for in that group two, and there's other matches as well involving sides in group two and group three. And we will have the prelim quarterfinals after this weekend, the following weekend, and then the following weekend after that, which is the last weekend of the month, we will have the quarterfinals. So some teams will be playing 3 weeks in the bounce before we get the break. And then in mid-July, it's the semi-finals. And at the end of July, we will, of course, have the All-Ireland final. So we're getting into the real, real championship thick stuff now over the next number of weeks. Just finally staying with Gaelic games, there is a full programme of matches in the Donegal All-County League to be played this weekend. Some of the big games coming up. In Division 1, third place St Unions are taking on the leaders Termon. So two sides in the top three are set to meet there. In Division 2, there's no game for and Cloughalea Dunloe this weekend, so it's given Éirigh, Ballyshannon and Evora Lower Rosses the opportunity to go top. Éirigh go to Fine Gaels, and Evora are in Bundoran. And there is a top of the table clash among the games in Division 3 this coming Saturday evening, with the joint leaders being Neave Breed and Red Hughes, and those two teams will clash in Ballantrae this coming Saturday evening. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Our next bulletin tomorrow morning is after the 8:30 news with Chris Ashmore. Until then, what's left of your wet and drizzly Thursday, try to enjoy it, and we'll speak to you again soon. Have a very good evening.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Now stocking the latest O'Neill's official Donegal GA range at michaelmurphysports.ie.